Good morning, everyone. My name is Emma, and this morning I will be bringing you the Bible reading. Today we will be reading from Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 to 21, and I'll be reading this from the New Living Translation. Living in the light. Imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you are his dear children. Live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God. Let there be no sexual immorality, impurity, or greed among you. Such sins have no place among God's people. Obscene stories, foolish talk, and coarse jokes, these are not for you. Instead, let there be thankfulness to God. You can be sure that no immoral, impure, or greedy person will inherit the kingdom of Christ and of God. For a greedy person is an idolater, worshipping the things of this world. Don't be fooled by those who try to excuse these sins, for the anger of God will fall on all who disobey him. Don't participate in the things these people do. For once you were full of darkness, but now you have light from the Lord. So live as people of light, for this light within you produces only what is good and right and true. Carefully determine what pleases the Lord. Take no part in the worthless deeds of evil and darkness. Instead, expose them. It is shameful even to talk about the things that ungodly people do in secret, but their evil intentions will be exposed when the light shines on them. For the light makes everything visible. This is why it is said, "Awake, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will give you light." So be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, and making music to the Lord in your hearts. And give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Dear God, I pray that as Stuart brings us this message this morning, that you will speak through him. I pray that you will open our hearts and our minds to hear what you have to say. I pray that whatever we learn from this morning, that we will take it into our lives and live it out in all that we do for your glory. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
I think my eyes are getting worse than I think they are. I said just before, oh, my glasses. And Leslie said, there they are. It's a worry, isn't it? Last night I was trying to chop wood in the dark. Gosh, it's difficult. With or without glasses. You know, and it kind of emphasised a little bit about what I'm preaching on. You know, we are people that live in the light. It's so much easier living in the light. Last week, the passage that was read from chapter 4 of Ephesians, picking it up from verse 17, I know we're in chapter 5, but just bear with me for a couple of moments. With the Lord's authority, this is verse 17 of chapter 4, with the Lord's authority I say, live no longer as Gentiles do, for they are hopelessly confused. Their minds are full of darkness, they wander far from the life God gives, because they have closed their minds and hardened their hearts. This is the reality of the world in which we live. For those that are living out of the light, they live in darkness, their minds and hearts are turned against the things of God. As we start chapter 5, and as Emma read, and it's headed in my Bible, living in the light, we are no longer children of the darkness. We are children of the light. And in that passage in the second half of chapter 4, it identifies things that should not be in the life of believers. People as they live in the life, no lying, no backbiting, no none of those things which are common in the world. A relationship with God transforms us from darkness to light. It's a transformation which is instantaneous and ongoing. You know, Paul is able to write, the new has come, the old is gone. A new creation. And yet we still need to continue to work through those things. We are a different people because of who we are in Christ. As we've been working our way through Ephesians, and as we continue to do that, we're looking in the sense particularly of community. Some of the key things that we've touched on as we've gone is in chapter 1, we look at God has called us, God has chosen us, God has made provision for us to be made right with Him through what Christ has done on the cross. This mystery that was known to the Jews, that God had a plan for salvation, God has a plan for the future, is now made known to all through Christ and His cross. And then Paul speaks in terms of a life which is needed to be lived that is worthy of that calling. As God's people, as God's community, the church, we are God's people, chosen, redeemed, made right with God through Christ, as Caleb already said, through grace, this all takes place. And yet there is still incumbent upon us to identify how we are living and where we live and what we do, and does it align with God's standards and God's will for us? It's a journey. We come, we grow, we are transformed as we live in the light of the gospel and the truth that God has revealed to us in His world. We can choose to live in darkness or we can choose to live in light. And Ephesians is wrapped up in this spiritual dimension. We don't have to do this on our own. God's Spirit lives in us. He challenges us, He empowers us, and He strengthens us, and He enables us. But in the context of community, we can rub against one another and encourage one another, challenge one another in love, and shape one another and fashion one another as people that live in the light. Now I'll start on my notes. Maybe. I'm going to work it through a little bit, some verse by verse, sort of, some chunks. You know, this is one of those passages which I think over the centuries has been well and truly abused by the church. And like in many instances when we come to Scripture, we can be at one end of the pendulum swing or the other. You know, we can take such high moral ground that we judge the world so harshly and cruelly, with such cruelty that they never come into the light. The light is too harsh and too bright. They see it and they run from it. As I was preparing for this sermon this week, I read a story, probably a fiction, no doubt, but it identifies the dilemma of the world and darkness and coming into light. The story went something like this. A man was lost in a dark coal mine with no lights, with many tunnels, and he just wandered in there for a fortnight. I think it's not true, but it makes a good point. I hope it's not true. Poor man. And as he wandered in the dark, bit by bit, he fumbled his way and he did find some solace. There was a warm spot here or a stale loaf of bread there. And then one day he saw at the end of one of the tunnels light. And he went out into the light and the light was so hard it blinded him, and he retreated to the darkness and went to the safe places that he had come to know. That can be a church that is so harsh and judgmental that when we pour out the light without grace, without mercy, without care and concern, that people retreat from the light and they find comfort in the darkness that is so dark and so lonely and we know leads to life eternal without God. Or we can be at the other end of the pendulum swing where we say, everything's all right, come on in, grace covers it all. Which is true, but there needs to be a point somewhere in the middle where we recognize that we are held accountable to the standards and the will of God as His people. Neither of the extremes are acceptable when you read Scripture and look at what God teaches us and calls us to do and to be. Now I'll get to my notes. Verse 1, chapter 5. Imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you are his dear children. Paul doesn't just say, be like God because it's a good idea. He says, be like God because of who you are. We've already seen in the earlier chapters of Ephesians that God has chosen, drawn, provided, and united people in his people as God, his own chosen people, the church. Provided for and made a people by what God has done in and through Christ. And indwelt by the Spirit of God. And Paul says, imitate God. Well, I don't know. What do you think of imitations? What do we always say? You know, get the real deal, don't we? Don't buy cheap. Don't get an imitation. Get the genuine part. Is that true? And Paul says, imitate. See, there's a bit of a shift. Today, when we think of an imitation, we think of second rate. Not quite good enough. But in the Greek, in this imitate, there was a sense of goodness and rightness about it. There was a high ideal, no sense of second rate or worthlessness about it. And Paul says, come in and imitate God because you are his children. And then he kind of like expands it a little bit more. He says, live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice for us as a pleasing aroma. Peter, notice, a pleasing aroma, not a foul smell. All right? This is good. So are you. And he says, as a pleasing aroma. So imitate God. How do we imitate God? We fashion ourselves on the life and ministry of what we see and know of Christ. So it's not just a come and imitate God and guess what it's like. Come and imitate God through your understanding of Christ. His sacrificial life, his obedient life, his love, his grace, his mercy, his welcoming and yet his challenging and correcting. That's what children of God look like. And that's what Paul calls us to be. Imitate God as seen in the ministry and life of Christ. This thing, this language at the beginning, a life, live a life, translates from a Hebrew word which means to walk. Some translations have as you walk. This is an ongoing thing. This isn't just a one encounter, get it out and it's all done. This is as you live, as you go, as you walk through life. It's an ongoing restoration, reformation, changing, challenging, transformation of who you are from the inside out by God's Spirit who lives in us, who we surrender to, and gives us the capacity to imitate God. That's amazing, isn't it? Not become God, not be God. Don't hear me wrong there and twist it a little bit. Imitate God because we are the children of God. We could almost finish there, couldn't we? We're not going to. We've kind of got some tricky stuff to go through now. But we need to see it that Paul wraps this up with living a life that imitates God with grace and then thankfulness. And then as we get to the end of the passage, we get this sense of thankfulness and turning to God too. All right. When do you go to McDonald's? All right, you can. All right, don't put your hands up. We all go to McDonald's, but nobody owns up to it. I know that's a fact because it still exists, you know. Some people take the gherkin out, don't they? Huh? All right. You know, because they don't like it. When I go to McDonald's, see, I go and I buy a fillet of fish and some small chips. Guess what I do? I stuff the chips in the fillet of fish. I know, but it's nice. It really is nice. You know, when you come to God's Word, you can't find bits you like and you can't add other bits that aren't in there. You've got to take it as a complete sandwich. It's a whole deal. And it's as you kind of like see where God has stuffed it, placed it together. Really should use notes. as God puts his word together to reveal his nature and his call on our lives, we've got to be careful that we don't chew on the bits we really like or the juicy bits. We've got to be careful that we take it as a whole unit. Alrighty? It's important. Otherwise you can destroy it. And I think the church in the past has taken some of these verses and they've overemphasized it and taken it out of context and applied it in a way that has not been helpful for the church or the community at large. He says, there's no two ways about this. We are children of light, imitators of God. And Paul says, with no ambiguity, let there be no sexual immorality, impurity or greed among you. Such sins have no place among God's people. Obscene stories, foolish talk and coarse jokes, these are not for you. They're not working. Paul writes this and he says it in a way that can be so confronting. You go, well, all right, so we just do nothing. We live a life that is just so distant from who we are. And he says, there can't be any of this in your life, this sexual immorality. But this isn't just a promiscuous sort of sense. This is any immoral sexual attitude in our life. Whether it's a sexual sin of coveting another man's wife or husband, whether it's an addiction to pornography, or maybe it's just a little bit more gentle than that in some of the movies or the shows we watch on television. Paul warns them and he says there is no place for this in the people of God. None whatsoever. But then he goes on, it's not only just the acts around our sexual behaviour or our attitudes towards that and shaping it up. He says it's also in the way we speak, the types of jokes and the innuendos. And again, this is all wrapped up, not just in a joke, not like this, you know. Now, some of you will get this and some of you won't. Yes, okay. Help me, Leslie. I've lost the word. Help me, Leslie. Oh, she's not going to help me. Why did the cowboy... Thank you. Thanks for that help, darling. Just leave me up here to roast. Why did the cowboy get a dash hound? He wanted to get a long little doggy. See, there's no... See, there is lots of funny things in this world. There is. And yet, if we're not careful, we can step on the edge of filth and grime, and before we know where we are, we go down to the bottom of the pit, and we are somewhere where we don't want to be, somewhere we know we shouldn't be, but it's too late. The longer we play in the dirt, the dirtier we get and the less we see the dirt that we are in. And Paul warns us, as he warns the Ephesian church, as imitators of God, based on the image that we see in the life and the ministry of Christ, these things cannot be part of who we are. They just cannot be there. Then he goes on and he gives a reason why this is the case. A very, very solemn reason, I might add. Picking it up in verse 5. You can be sure that no immoral, no impure or greedy person will inherit the kingdom of God, the kingdom of Christ and of God. For a greedy person is an idolater, a worshipper of things of this world. See, that practice, that lifestyle, that behavior is still living in darkness. Hearts hardened to the light of God's truth and God's standards and God's way and God's will for us, his children. God is righteous and nothing righteous can come before him. So in that kingdom of God and of Christ, Notice here, Paul is actually identifying the two. This is God's kingdom, Christ's kingdom, that unity that Paul often enforces. He says these things can't exist in God's kingdom or in his people. We go, hang on. So what are we going to do? The language Paul is using here is people that are willful and deliberate and continual in these acts with no sense of repentance, no sense of coming back, no sense of returning. People which blatantly, knowingly, deliberately turn their back on God's standards and therefore corrupt the body of Christ. They're the ones that are in strife. Someone that just slips and falls or you know, maybe lives a life for a little while like this or like that. We've already heard grace is something you can't work at from Caleb. It's right. God's grace has the capacity to redeem and transform even from the worst situation. But Paul says that's no excuse to allow that to become part of who you are or part of who the church is. So that's a warning he gives. Live a life outside of the calling that God has placed us. Remember earlier? Live a life that is what? Worthy of the call that God has put on us. What's that call? We are his children. We are his family. We are his children. And part of that call is we live according to his way and his standards. Deliberately live outside that and we put our eternal destiny in jeopardy. Don't be fooled, Paul says in verse 6, by those who try to excuse these sins for the anger of God will fall on all who disobey him. There may be some teaching around that, oh, that's all right. It doesn't really matter. Everybody does it. And Paul says, no, don't let that start to slip in. Stand firm, stand fast, stand sure. Because these standards are not God's standards and these standards are not God's way and therefore they can't be part of who you are. Listen. Listen to what I preach. Listen to what others preach. Listen to what you hear or read from other people and test it against God's word. Does it come in or does it stay out? So don't be fooled. If it smells bad, it probably is. You know, God's given us that capacity to know, to sense it. Haven't you been somewhere or heard something and God's Spirit just stirs you on the inside? Yeah, listen to it. Be obedient to it. Be a child of God living in the light, not a child of God creeping back into the darkness. And then he says, don't participate in these things. Don't participate in the things these people do. For once you were full of darkness, but now you have light from the Lord. So live as people of light. For this light within you produces only what is good and right and true. Formerly you were like this, but now you are like this. We've actually not only got light in us, according to Paul and the way you read it from the Greek, we have become light. We have become light. And what does light do? It shines, yes. A pardon? It shows the way, yeah. Your word is like a light. I'm a pardon. But what does light do? It dispels darkness, yes. In the presence of light, darkness can't exist. Last night when I was chopping the wood in the dark, I wish I had light. One time I used the axe upside down. That hurt. Yes, it's your fault. You appointed me. You know, but this is the reality of who we are, who we've become, who we are being. We are people that live in the light. We have become light. And the light in us, which is God's light, reveals the darkness. You go, well, that's good, I hope. But it's the response you do or the response that happens out of the light coming in to the dark that is important. When I was doing chaplaincy and I was in the staff room, staff would come in and they'd, oh, can't do that, Stuart's here. Or I'd walk into the room and they'd go, oh, we better stop talking about that. And I got to a point where I was bold enough to say, why? What difference does it matter whether I'm here or not? And then they say, well, we probably shouldn't talk like that, or we shouldn't talk about things like that. There was something, now I'm not trying to be smart here, but this is the same for all of us. There is something in us, something about us when we come in Christ that changes the situation in which we find ourselves. It brings light. It reveals things, and in revealing things, it challenges the status quo. Is this right? And the answer sometimes is, no, it isn't. And it becomes an invitation to live a life that's different, a life that's changed and shaped not by the darkness of the world, but by the light of the gospel, just because we are there. Our presence, our way, the fact that we are imitating God and God's Spirit is in us and we become light, transforms the society, the community, the place that God has put us in. It has positive outcomes. Look at the history of the church. The world forgets that we were on the front foot of slavery, of women's rights, all these things that were wrong, that stood outside of God's domain. The church has worked in so many places for hospitals, for education, for children that are in slavery or working in mines. It's the light of the gospel that brings hope. It's the light of the gospel that brings things that are out of kilter with good and rightful standards and morality. Yes, Paul warns us, don't live like this. Don't allow this to be part of God's chosen people, the church. But he does it in such a way that it's not in condemning, but it's revealing with a positive spin. And I'm not just trying to be a spin doctor. This is the reality. It's what it does. It transforms your life. It transforms my life. And it transforms the lives of the people around us, the community and the society in which we live. I forget what it was that you said yesterday, David, at the vision day around. You know, our Christian church should transform culture. Where we are and where we are. I wish I could remember the words, but chat. Pardon? Chat. We'll chat later. And I thought, good, not now. It would be nice now. Okay. But see, Paul, this is Paul's way of informing the church of who we are, what we look like, and what we have become and what we are becoming, in a way that encourages us to remain imitating God, allowing the nature of Christ to be in us, but not only in us, but transforming the world in which we live because it's there. So yes, our light will help us see and then help us reveal the truth. And through love, remember love, do you remember that? Kind of like live a life filled with love is what Paul says in verse 2 as we start this bit. Not live a life full of judgment. Not live a life full of hatred and finger wagging. Live a life of love. Bear in mind, these things are not part of your life. But as the light reveals them, transform them with love. And if people are so hard-hearted and so ingrained in the darkness, pursue them. Continue to shine the light of the gospel and hope into their lives. Not because we judge them. Not because we feel we are better than them, heaven forbid. But because we love them. For God so that he sent his Son into the world, that whoever believes in him will not perish. He didn't come to condemn the world, to judge the world, but to save the world. The power of love, and I don't mean that in some airy-fairy, accept all type of love. God has extended grace to me And God has extended grace to you. He calls us out of darkness to live in the light of the truth of the gospel, a life that is transformed and reflects the image of Christ in us day by day, as we live. And by God's grace, he continues to forgive us and shape us as we fall and stumble. And as we work together in community, in love, we can correct one another and build one another up and encourage one another as to be imitators of God. We need to be a community that is generous, loving, and gracious. And we need to be a community that honours and believes and applies God's truth and values to the world in which we live. And we need to keep a balance as we do those two things. I'm going to skip through to verse 15. So be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but live like those who are wise. We have wisdom, we have understanding and knowledge. Apply that knowledge and understanding that God has given to us through his Spirit. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't just wait till tomorrow to read your Bible or to grow in your understanding of God. Don't just wait till tomorrow to allow your light to shine into the life of somebody else. Take every moment and make the most of it. Don't live like fools, and be careful that you take care of every second, every moment. Make the most of it. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, I did read up, and Caleb will be able to either nod his head or shake his head. I was read that alcohol is actually a depressant. Thank you. You know, when we're drunk, I've never been drunk, so I can't say we. When people are drunk with alcohol, they are depressed. Their capacity to act as a good, proper human being is depreciated. Their cognitive capacities decline. And anger comes to the surface and all sorts of things go awry. So Paul says, don't be drunk. Don't lose control of your faculties in a way that depresses you and demeans you. Instead, be full of or be drunk with the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, who actually doesn't depress us. He invigorates us. He makes us more human than we could possibly imagine. He gives us a capacity to love and to understand beyond our own capacity. To surrender our lives to his call and his way and his will. Bit of a trick there, isn't it? Because it's our life and we give it away to be led by someone else. But that's part of the process of coming out of darkness and death into light and life and surrender. Allow your life to be shaped and driven by the power of the Spirit who lives in you. And then gather, sing hymns and praises to one another and to God. And give thanks for everything to God, the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Every situation, every moment. Well, I'm not quite sure I can give thanks to God for some of the things I know and see. But I'll give thanks for the things that I can see God's hand at work in. And I'll give thanks for the gifts that he has given me and the gifts that he has given the church. And when it comes back to the section, I give thanks to God for my wife and the life that I have, and I won't demean that aspect of who I am. See, when we give thanks to God, we become God-centered in our mind, in our thoughts. And we don't give thanks, we look after our own interests and we become self-centered and separated from God's will and God's plans for us as people and as part of his family. So, Paul says, live in the light, become light, dispel darkness, and in love, journey with one another. A bit of a paraphrase of 15, 21 verses. There you go. So what does it mean for us? Better go back here somewhere, hadn't I? Are there areas in your life that you struggle with? Is there a battle going on? Well, you know there is darkness in you somewhere. Perhaps from what Chris was preaching on there, our attitudes, our words, the way we view others, the way we judge. How hard is your heart? How resentful are you towards people or places or situations? Where do you spend your time? What do you read? What do you watch? What do you do? Are there parts of your life that the Spirit of God is saying, I need that bit too? If that's what God is saying to you, no matter where it is or what it is in your life, I encourage you, I implore you, with the strongest possible words, open your life up to the light that comes from the truth of God's word. Allow the Spirit to take control of all of who you are in order that you might become all that God has intended you to be. Imitate God in the image of Christ in love and surrender your life to the will and the work of the Spirit of God. Take your life from darkness to light, that you may be light in the world in which God has placed you. Yeah? Let's give thanks.